How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Ichiban Sweet Cast. Ichiban. Ichiban Sweet Cast. Or should I say the Ichiban sleeveless cast? Am I right, Curtis? What? What? Guns are out today.
Suns out, guns out, baby.
We both turned on the screen and we're both sleeveless, looking fucking jacked to shit. One of us got a broken wing, but between us.
I woke up and just threw on something to wear today, and it happened to be a sleeveless, like, basketball shirt. Mm-hmm. You are currently convalescing at home.
Right,
so you're like, I'm not going to wear sleeves ever.
Well, I'm not going to wear sleeves ever. Plus, it's easier to get on, you know, over the boy. Plus, I've been like laying on the couch in 18 degrees aircon under rugs. So I can't be too hot under all my rugs.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair. You want to keep the air around you cold. It's so you know the blanket's working.
Exactly. Right? That's it. I don't like if I had a malfunctioning blanket, I'd need to know. The only way to know is to check.
Exactly.
I like to be cold, and I like to measure that with additional warmth. I hate to be hot. Fucking hate to be hot because it's really hard to be cold down. So I'd rather be cold, warm myself up. That's how I prefer to exist.
I would rather be cold too, because I mean, I can always put on extra clothes.
Exactly. Get under a blankie, do all those things. When it's really hot and you can't escape it, that's fucked. Which is why my house is always at a cold 18, even when it's like 40 degrees outside or 18 degrees outside. That aircon is always on 24/7, freezing cold house.
Dude, when I go on vacation to a place that has air conditioning, like when Donna and I went to Portugal, you better believe that thing was on like fucking 15 degrees at all times.
Yeah. I suppose for you, like, it's fucking ice cold there all the time, right? So I guess you don't really need aircon. But it does get – when it does get hot, it gets pretty gross, right?
When it gets hot, it's like last summer it touched 40 for a couple of weeks, but it's a very, very humid –
sure.
Like place. So, oh, it was fucking awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, the summers are like 30 degrees, mm-hmm. which is still bad for me because I'm a chubby dude. Mm-hmm. So like, I hate that. I hate anything over fucking 20.
Yeah. Right. Right. So that's getting you grossed out.
For our American friends, 30 is like 100 basically.
Yeah.
So old money. You know what we're here to do? Welcome to the Ichiban Weathercast. Mm-hmm. And
that is it.
We're old men talking about the weather. It's what we do.
The old man yells at cloud. Finally, it's actually been like 27 here in Perth. I don't know, for what feels like the entire fucking year. And it's actually going to start to rain tonight, apparently. And Amy and I are like, bring it on. Because all our fashion, when we go to Japan, where we buy all these clothes, we're always buying fucking long sleeves and hoodies and shit. And we can never fucking wear anything that we buy.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a transfer now because it's becoming summer here, so it's becoming winter there.
Yeah, finally. It should have been winter here ages ago, but it just kept being hot.
Garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Which, global I'm sure a lot of people are really happy about, but I'm just not one of those people.
No. But you know what was hot? Mm-hmm. New Japan Wrestling Dontaku 2024.
It was. You got it watched? He got it watched?
I got it watched.
Yeah, there you go. Watched.
Mm-hmm. I was not able to watch it live because I was at a Marvel Crisis Protocol 2-day event. Mm-hmm. You'll hear about it on a future episode of the Throw and Dice podcast. But yeah, no, I got Dontaku watched.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. Some of the matches were fucking hellacious, man.
Yeah, it took you a little bit to build to it because like the stiffies were checking on you, on us to see what we thought about it, and you were like, I'm just building up the energy to fucking want to watch wrestling. But then once you got it going, you were happy you did?
I was very happy. Like, here's the thing. I had 5 days off.
Yeah.
You know, so I had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday when I was going to sit down and watch it, I had to go to fucking work that night. So I was just like, I'm sitting around the house all day going, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm only going to be awake for like 3 hours before I got to go to work. So do I really want to watch wrestling or do I want to try and like get some shit done around the house? Like. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. But then on Wednesday, had a day off, got to fucking sit down and watch it with my wife. My wife loves watching wrestling with me. She's actively like, oh, has Zack Sabre Jr. had a match lately? Or, you know, is Great O'Khan wrestling lately? You know, that sort of thing.
Checking on him. Oh, that's cool. Well, I reckon today, I don't think, because we want to really knock out the best worst case for the Super Juniors, which literally starts tomorrow. I just think we give our rough thoughts on the Dontaku stuff, maybe just touch briefly on some of the standout matches or title stuff. I can say, like, I watched the first night live and then watched the second night, like, a day later on replay. I could say, like, all the multi-man tags and stuff, I had fun with them when I was watching it live, jumping in and out of there. But I always do. I always prefer, like, that kind of stuff when I watch it live. If I'm watching it on replay, I'm not always as inclined to go through like all the multi-man stuff.
Yeah, like if it's a two-dayer and you've got multi-mans on the first day, you know, like some of the stuff is going to carry over to the second day. Mm-hmm. But like with this one, it really seemed like there were multi-man tags on the first day that just built to multi-man tags on the second day.
Yeah, yeah. Or didn't it was really, like guys who were going to have a title defense the next day. And it's just, you know, a few more beats in that story, you know?
Yeah. So it just, wasn't really building for me. I know exactly what you mean when you say that the multi-mans are definitely better to watch live. Mm-hmm. You get that energy, you know, that's
yeah. I love to like turn on a New Japan event and just like watch it all play out and all the multi-mans and stuff. Like when I'm there live, it's a way nicer event. If I'm going in like the next day and it's like the end of the long day and I'm trying to get matches watched, I'm sometimes inclined to skip them, you know. But on the first night, we had those three kind of main matches, the main singles matches. We had the Jeff Cobb and Jack Sabre Jr. Who the fuck is Jack Sabre Jr.? Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack's little brother. They're twins. Jack runs a vegan Thai restaurant in Brixton.
Exactly. Well, that's lovely for him. Then we had the special singles match between Finlay and Tsuji. And then we had the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match with Nemeth and Tanahashi.
These were all good.
They were all great fun. I don't think we need to break each of them down, but like my overall thoughts were I really enjoyed all three. Though I'm a big Zack guy, I was actually happy to see. I thought the match was really good. I was happy to see Cobb get the win. I think that belt will run fun and different with him, and also free Zack up to do other stuff, which I really enjoy. Then Finlay and Tsuji, I just thought was like a real banger. And I enjoyed, like, it was like a pretty dominant win by Finlay. You know what I mean? They're making him look like a pretty hard fucking dude. And I enjoy that for the, you know, the leader of the heel faction. He's not winning through cowardly escapades and stuff like a Jay White used to.
He's winning via multiple fucking power bombs.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking brutal. Not enough people do power bombs these days. And, you know, Finlay's not a huge guy, you know, but he uses them to good effect. And then I actually really fucking enjoyed the Global Heavyweight Championship match. Love seeing Tanahashi. Yeah. I thought him and Nemeth were great together. And by the end, I was like, I'm fucking pretty into Nemeth in New Japan now. Like, he's won me over by now. And then Finlay attacked, and I'm like, and he's probably going to have to fight this cunt tomorrow and then lose it, and maybe we won't see him in New Japan anymore. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought it, like, by the end, I thought the Wanted Man thing was cool, and I really liked it. And I Finlay really helped get that over as well.
I had Nemeth's theme song stuck in my head for like a day and a half.
It's cool. Like, yeah.
He's a wanted man.
It's so cheesy. I love it. Did you have any particular notes on any of those three matches that you wanted to vibe on?
I was watching the Nemeth and Tanahashi match, I was sitting there going like, man, if this only happened like 10 years ago.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
God, that would have been off the charts good. It was still very good. It was a lot of fun. I think it was maybe not as good as the Nemeth and Finley match though.
Yeah,
that happened
sure.
on day two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that I guess is as good a segue as any, where the next day we had a couple of different title matches. We had the tag team championship match with Bullet Club versus Bishamon. We had the Never Open Weight Championship with Shingo and Gabe Kidd. Then we had Finlay and Nemeth, which was a match that got announced straight afterwards. Finlay attacks Tanahashi attacks Nemeth after his match with Tanahashi, and they fight him off anyway. And Nemeth essentially says, look, fucking, you want a piece of this, we'll do it tomorrow. And so that tees that up. And then the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match with Mox and Narita. So, I mean, running through those real quick, not much to really say about Bullet Club and Bishamon, except for I was just happy with the ending, that as soon as it was over, TMDK were in the ring, you know, ELP and Hikaleo were in the ring, and they're moving it on, like, which is good because it immediately feels transition-y and stuff like that. Otherwise, I would have probably been pretty mad about it. Let's finish our talking points on Finlay and Nemeth, and we'll spend a little bit more time talking about Gabe and Mox and stuff like that. So, how are you feeling about like Finlay winning it back? Because I feel like by the time it's all said and done, and considering the way he lost it so quickly, and then his injury and New Japan Cup and stuff like that, I feel like this was kind of like the perfect little wrapped up, tied in a bow way to have somebody like Nemeth come in and then turn around and fucking put Finlay over again. And for my first feelings when he lost it, I was like, how's he fucking losing it to this ex-WWE guy immediately? He's supposed to be the leader, he's supposed to be that. But he's gone through all this stuff, and then by the time he then beats him, and he beats him pretty fucking clean by the time it's done, you're like, he looks stronger because of this now. Like, I think it was a really good way to do it. But if anything, there was a part of me that was like, I could have actually fucking taken a little bit more Nemeth. I was like, about him by the end, you know?
Well, I mean, like, Nemeth had matches with, well, he had more matches for that belt than
Finlay.
Finlay
lost
in
his
so
first
far.
Defense against Nemeth.
Yeah, it's V0 for Finlay right then. Yeah. And then Nemeth had two successful victories.
He had one against Ishii. When Ishii hit the zigzag fucking on Nemeth, like his own move on it, I lived for it. I thought that was the coolest shit.
The thing about this is this belt going to become that belt that, like, we remember when Big Red, like the second it showed up in New Japan, it became the ex-WWE guy belt.
Sure.
Like that was the one that went like, Juice would have it and then he'd drop it to Mox and then he'd get it back and then he'd drop it to Cody and then he'd get it back and he'd drop it, you know, like,
yeah,
I just don't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see like this new beautiful white belt becoming what the red belt was with Juice.
Sure. And you know what? Like, I don't really have a super problem with it, like, flipping all the time and being a highly contested belt. I just don't like it when the booking pattern, so to speak, becomes predictable, like the new Western star comes in and he's immediately going to have it, like, and then it becomes predictable. But that's just me and predictable kind of stories altogether. You know what I mean? I like to be surprised and to have things moving around. But, yeah, I
exactly.
Do you think Nemeth has done? I would like to see Nemeth hanging around. I think he could definitely do more in New Japan.
I think he's probably going to show up more on, like, strong shows and things like that. I don't know if, like, I don't think he'll be in the G1 or anything like that.
Sure.
I'd like to see him. But, I mean, currently he has just recently become the AAA mega champion.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they had to pull that belt off him real fucking fast.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Yeah. Which is
unfortunate.
Yeah. Which is like, I mean, I kind of get it. Like, it's with Nemeth, it's like, well, if I could be a bit of a belt collector for a bit and people want to put it on me, I'm going to say yes. But, yeah, you kind of don't want to shoot yourself in the foot with New Japan, I would say. But yeah, I mean, there's ways to.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, if they say, hey, you can be a secondary belt holder in Japan or you can be the mega champion of one of the bigger promotions in Mexico.
Sure.
It's kind of 50-50, right? You're like, yeah. Which one are you going to choose?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think good for him. You know, he's getting a lot of bookings, which is probably giving him as much or the same amount of money as he was making in WWE anyway.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you know, like get yours, bro. Get yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm definitely not against seeing him in New Japan. I think there's plenty of people that he can have matches with, and he's only scratched the surface.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
One with Ishii, one with Tanahashi, and one with two with David Finlay. Mm-hmm. I thought were great. I really would like to see what he can do against some of the younger guys too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure he would have a lot to teach them as well. So, yeah, we can only hope. How, like, now let's talk about Gabe Kidd and Shingo Takagi, because –
Ooh.
That's what we were saying. Like, you were like, I just got to build up the energy. And we were like, trust us, like, Kidd and Shingo are like worth the price of admission alone. Let's just talk about everything. Like, what did you think of like the Dr. Death style gear that Gabe
so
came
cool,
in on?
Man. I was sitting there and I was looking at it and I was like, look at these jackets. Look at these jackets, bro. Because you got Shingo's jackets with like the multiple colors, red, white, green.
I love
like
Shingo's jacket. He's got like a bit of like a Count of Monte Cristo vibe about him, you know, the kind of like one shoulder cape kind of thing. I like it. I think it's cool.
Oh man, so many good jackets over this whole weekend.
Flying around.
I mean, Tsuji's jacket, like I'm about it.
Yeah, that's
but then
cool.
You've got like David Finlay's new like leather jacket with looks like Bane, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that shit's cool. Like, oh fuck. Good jackets, good
loves
robes.
Loves a good jacket or a robe. But it's definitely feeling like
opulence.
Kidd is leveling up, right? Like,
absolutely. And he was saying that.
Yeah.
He was saying that in the middle of the match. I'm not a fucking young lion anymore, you know?
Yeah. And,
dig it. I fucking did. When he hit the bitch maker on fucking Shingo.
Is that what he calls his like, lariat? Or what's
it's when you do the rainmaker. That's what Shibata did. He did the rainmaker, and instead of fucking hitting him with the lariat, he fucking just slaps the taste out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah. sure. That's dope.
That shit was awesome.
Fucking Shingo fucking hit him with like a tiger driver looking thing as
well.
Yeah. That was savage. That was absolutely savage.
I don't know if it's going to top the cage match for me for match of the year, but damn, it was close, man.
It was really good.
That's going to be, that goes notebook and that one's getting watched at the end of the year to make sure.
Yeah. I was really hoping Kidd could pull it out, but I think there's every chance in the world that he actually takes out Kingston for sure. Like everything is like sort of like with every single thing he does, he keeps leveling up and leveling up and leveling up. And there's every chance in the world that he could be at least holding that strong belt very soon.
I was kind of hoping that they would have the strong belt and the never belt together and they would just blend those two together again. Mm-hmm. Like you need a new never belt because it looks like trash now that it's been painted and scraped and everything that.
He's cleaned it up. Shingo cleaned it up personally.
Yeah, but it's still trashed. It's still trashed. It's like the fucking side plates are hanging off of it like your wrist.
Yeah. It was like full wrist spec on that fucking belt. If anybody wants to hear the story of my wrist and also how Curtis got into a fight with a mother, you can check out the sweet spot over on Patreon. Shout out Countout Network. So all the links will be in our notes. IWGP.
Speaking of Countout Network, did you want to make an announcement, or is it too early for that?
It's not too early for that. I'm sure we'll put out some real stuff. But what Curtis is referring to is that I'm moving Faces and Feels over to the Countout Network, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So
way to go.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan and I had a meeting about it the other day to chat. I mean, we've sort of bandied around ideas and stuff before, but what that's going to allow me to do is really free up the time that I've spent editing and, you know, social media posting and doing all that for Faces and Feels and allow me to focus on interviews instead. You know what I mean? Like actually creating content and being creative instead of doing all the A's and B's that it takes to grind out a podcast. So I'm very excited. I'm very grateful to him for that offer, and I'm really excited to actually start to pick up some steam. So that's going to be real fun.
So cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cool. All right, so let's go to the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match.
Exactly. What do you think of this?
I thought it was good.
I thought it was great.
I thought that there was just enough of the House of Torture shenanigans, and they had a great match in between. So, yeah, I thought super cool. Good times.
Absolutely.
That's how those young men should be deployed.
Absolutely. You know? I think so too. I think Moxley made Narita look great, made him look like a star, looked like a star himself, showed all the proper reverence to Japan and to the belt, and he reads like somebody that really fucking cares about it. And I think that's all we can hope for. You know what I mean? Like that's what all you can ask of somebody, and especially if they're a Western somebody, they're not going to be there full time and stuff. You want to feel like it's their number one priority when they're there, and that's how it feels, you know, when he does it. So I know there's been a little bit of like disappointment and stuff online. People were like, oh, we were told he was doing every tour and all this kind of stuff, and we kind of thought that maybe he's, maybe he isn't. I don't know where he's going to show up or whatever. I mean, it's best of the Super Juniors, so, you know, the champ wouldn't be around anyway. I feel like the 2 weeks between when he won it and then the Dontaku shows is fine. I don't think I need him on every house show. But then I don't watch every house show. Maybe, you know, the citizens of AMA or whatever and stuff were bummed that, you know, he wasn't going to be there and stuff. And that is unfortunate. But, you know, he can't be there all the time. So that's just the logistics of putting it on somebody like that. I don't think it makes him a bad dude or like somebody that doesn't give a fuck about it or a phone-in champion like Kenny kind of was or like Jericho was, et cetera.
Yeah, I think him just showing up and being there for big shows, like it does kind of suck. I would like to see him on some tours. But then like you said specifically to me when I brought this up, you said like, did Moxley say that he was going to be on these tours, or did the internet tell you that he was going to be on these tours? And I was like, yeah, you're fucking right. We didn't hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
He didn't say, he didn't win the belt and go, I'm going to be in every fucking show, like fighting champion in Japan every fucking day of my life. I'm moving to Japan. He didn't say any of that. You know what I mean? Like there were rumors that he's going to be making the tours and doing all that. And we all got excited about it, but yeah, I saw one person that was like, oh, so what? I'm not going to see the belt until Dontaku. I was like, it's 11 days. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's 11 days. Who fucking gives a fuck? Like, you know, I mean, as I said, if you're a citizen in one of like maybe the small road to towns, maybe you were excited that champ would come through or whatever. And it does suck that you can't see him there or whatever, but that's just sort of the nature of touring wrestlers and things like that. So, you know, things don't always work out. Same as like maybe I take it a little bit easier because I live in the most isolated city in the world. So I'm used to fucking constantly flying to the other side of this country if I want to even see a band. You know what I mean? So I fly to Japan to go see these fucking wrestling shows. So I'm not like, oh, he's not on a regional show in Japan. It doesn't really affect me because if I want to see a show in Japan, I gotta fly very far and spend a lot of money to make it happen.
And I expect that he will be in some tours. Like, of course, he's not going to be on this BOSJ tour. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's still the champion at that time, he will be in the G1. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure they're going to let him off AEW TV for a whole month to do it. But like,
yeah, we'll have to say. How do you feel? I don't know if we touched on it when we last spoke, so let's touch on it real quick. The Hobbs thing, because the internet got very mad about the Hobbs thing. AW, you know, giving a challenge to a guy who, you know, wouldn't even normally sniff around IWGP, et cetera, and has no ties with New Japan. I feel like that's the nature of it. I also feel like they did, by making it Don Callis's guy who was like, I've made a call, I've called in a favor, we're skipping the line, we're bad boy heels. Like, I feel like at least there was a reason for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, not only did Hobbs skip the line to get and there was a reason for it, which works in kayfabe, but Hobbs skipped the line and so did Moxley, kind of. Moxley didn't really earn a shot. They just said, hey, here's a match between Moxley and Naito. Mm-hmm. And, oh, hey, look, Naito's the champ. And so Naito's like, yeah, I guess I'll defend it. Whatever.
I mean, he had a very dominant record in New Japan. Did he ever beat Naito, though? Like in a G1 or anything. Has he ever beat Naito before?
God, the last G1 that he was in was, what, 2019? Mm. I don't remember off the top of my head if he beat Naito. I can't give you that information.
I would say that the reason would be he's one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world. He's undefeated in New Japan. They're running a USA show. So, of course, they book the most popular wrestler they can and put him in the title match, like in the main event. That's what also happens in wrestling and even in boxing and things like that. You know what I mean? It's called booking fights. You know, not everybody has to earn their way from the ground up. I think we can all make leaps of logic and let some stuff fly. Otherwise, you just drive yourself crazy.
And I think a lot of the fans are getting pissed about it. They're like, we don't want to see this dude who's, he's an absentee champion and stuff like that. And so are a lot of the wrestlers at, they're saying this in their post-match interviews and things like that, which leads me to say, guys, this is the reason why he's skipping these shows.
This is the story now, because if the wrestlers are making that the dialogue, like even Tai Chi's like, hey, if fucking Hobbs could skip the line, maybe I can. So maybe we're going to see more interesting challenges, like just by people getting in his face. And him like being an outsider going, I don't know the fucking rules here. I'm the champ. I call my own shots. This guy's pissing me off. I'll fight him. I don't give a fuck. Like,
I'm into it. That works. Big match, Tai Chi. Let's go.
You know, fucking, I just finished Shogun. And John Blackthorne is the Western guy in that, and he's in amongst all the Japanese samurai and stuff, and he has no idea what's going on. He plays he is the vision for the viewer. You know, you're kind of seeing it all through him and not understanding stuff on, you know, with him and stuff like that. And there's a few things where he's like, what motherfucker? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he pipes up and they're all like, yo, like, you can't fucking do that sort of thing. That's how I sort of see Mox going in there, gunslinging, and like, I'm fucking holding the belt. I'm the top of the mountain. Who's up? Like, Ren attacked him and he's like, fucking guess what? You're a dead man. Like, Ren wasn't fucking next. But he fucking pissed him off and he goes, fine, you can even jump in front of Shooter just because I want to beat you up. Like, so that's just like the way it goes, right?
And I'm always down with it, because what do we say about Moxley every time?
Exactly.
Japanese Moxley, it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fun. I'm into it. So, yeah, absolutely. Is he my favorite wrestler in the world? No, but I think he's doing decent work.
Yeah, it's going to be just fine. I'm not even worried about it. I was kind of pissed about it. And then like, whatever, dude, let's watch Best of the Super Juniors for the next few weeks. And, you know, we'll enjoy while John Moxley has IWGP matches with fucking, I don't know, Trent Beretta or whoever.
Like, and you know what? You don't watch AEW, so who cares? Like, it doesn't affect you in any way. It's just what the internet does, right? You just end up getting riled up and seeing takes and getting pissed off about stuff. I just try not to read anything and just watch what I watch and try and enjoy it.
Had really big Scott Norton defends the IWGP against, like, fucking Luchador Lodi.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Virgil holding the title belt and shit.
Yeah, that brought me back to 1997 real fast, man. I was like, oh, shit, really?
We're also gun-shy, right? We've all been burnt so many times that we're like, oh, like fucking whip dogs.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, so Dontaku, fucking if for nothing else other than Shingo and Gabe, man, that fucking match. That's a notebook worthy match right there.
Absolutely.
And I fucking loved it. And now Gabe has gone off and challenged Kaito Kiyomiya to the GHC.
Yes, which is sick. which is awesome.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I fucking love that. Two GHCs and the War Dogs.
Yeah.
That would be great. Sick. Honored crown and the fucking global heavyweight championship. Yeah. I'm into it.
I love it. Imagine if he fucking won it, eh? Imagine. That would be crazy. Because he's always best, like, fuck Noah, this is fucking shit. Like, if he was the champion.
The best part is he's like, fuck Noah, fuck Kaito Kiyomiya, all that shit. And then he's like, fuck all these outsiders coming in and taking our belt. And then he goes to Noah and he becomes an outsider looking to take their belt.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
Hypocrisy. Yeah. Hypocrisy is the basis of most heels in wrestling.
So absolute fantastic. Best. Absolutely. All right, then. Well, we need to talk best case, worst case about Best of the Super Juniors, which starts tomorrow. Are we going to...
I have the blocks right here.
Are we doing it as a separate episode, or are we just going to keep on rolling? Do an hour and we'll get
Let's just keep it rolling, because I don't think that we should put them out separately, because this is like...
This
I
is
don't
speed
think
round.
Enough.
Speed round on Dontaku, so yeah.
Speed round on Dontaku.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go through the A block. The A block is... Mm-hmm. El Desperado.
Yes.
Kevin Knight. Mm-hmm. Bushi. Mm-hmm. Teton. Mm-hmm. TJP, the captain of the new United Empire. Mm-hmm. Huge Fuge, Kosei Fujita. Mm-hmm. Blake Christian from GCW.
GCW champion Clark, still, right?
Didn't he lose it recently?
I think he lost it to Danhausen, and then Matt Cardona came out as like the new chairman and restarted the match because like there was a weapon involved, even though it's GCW. And then he's like, Danhausen screwed Danhausen. He's doing like a, you know, Brett Shawn type thing. So I'm pretty sure, I think he's still the champion. But yeah, I did see the match. I just saw that on social media. So anyway.
Clark Connors, the cocaine cowboy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yoshinobu Kanemaru.
New fire shirt out fucking by him.
Dude, that shirt is fucking sick, dude.
Isn't it?
Oh my God. So why does House of Torture get all the
I don't know.
Shirts?
Whoever they've got on their merch design is just killing the game right now. Just absolutely killing it. And then Hayata. Yeah. Okay. So Hayata. Let's mm-hmm. just talk about
let's
A block then.
Who do you think if we go, who are you most interested in seeing in this A block most? Like who's you're going like, oh yeah.
This is like a great block. There's a lot to be happy about in this block. Mm-hmm. I'm always into Despy. I'm always into Clark Connors. I would highlight Kevin Knight. I think there could be yep. some great things out of him in this. I think Teton obviously did some great work in the last one. I don't, because they kind of don't have him around all the time, I'm not feeling super hype on him, but I just know he'll deliver. So that'll be awesome. Obviously, the Japanese Young Punk from Team DK, Fujita, I think we're going to see some great stuff from him. Christian is a really good wrestler. Always like Kanemaru in these tournaments. I don't know anything about Hayata at all. And they've been putting a little bit of fire under the likes of Bushi. He's been getting some wins, winning some multi-mans and some tags and shit, like with his new tap-out thing. So I think we can expect him to actually go deeper than we'd really expect. And TJP's making a run at trying to be the captain of United Empire. So, yeah, there's a lot here.
He wants to be the open weight. Like, he doesn't want to be a junior heavyweight or a heavyweight.
He's like, I want to be in this, and then I want to be in the fucking, yeah, G1 or whatever. So, yeah, we'll have a look. But I think just looking at it, I think it's going to be really closely contested. I think my best case to win, I would...
Let's give me two best cases for like the final night. What's the final night? Like, who's it coming down to in the champions?
In A block?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So in A block, I would like to see the final in A block between El Desperado and let's go ahead and say Kevin Knight.
Desperado and Kevin Knight. That sounds pretty good.
Would be my.
I think
my
that's
favorite.
one of the early matches. I think, but because that's like night two or something like that. But like, yeah, that could be a really good way to close out. Like once we.
Yeah, even if that's one of the early nights, if we're just talking about who's sort of the top two by the end of this block, I would like to see both of those too. I think that'd be good.
Okay. Should we pick the worst case as well
would be good. But I think why don't you choose your best on this side? And then we'll have a
look. I want to see on the best on this side. Let's say Fuge and I'm sorry. The dogs looked at me like as I thought I said food. let's say Kosei Fujita and Kevin Knight, I think. We both picked Kevin Knight there, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So worst case scenario, who are you saying you don't want to see come out of this block?
For me, TJP and Bushi.
TJP and Bushi. I was thinking TJP as well. I kind of don't. I mean, like TJP and like I like Kanemaru, but like I don't want to see him go that far. I mean, he's not even the junior ace in House of Torture, even though he is great. So I would say Kanemaru and TJP. I mean, it's going to be an interesting match. They can both go, but I don't really care for what they're doing with TJP right now. So I'm going to say that. Let's say TJP. Okay, so B block. Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Kushida, Hiromu Takahashi, Doki, Francesco Akira, Robbie Eagles, Taiji Ishimori, Drilla Maloney, Sho, Dragon Daya, and Ninja Mac.
Yeah, wow. Okay, great.
Also, fucking stacked-ass block.
Stacked block. Ooh, I really...
I said Ninja Mac and Don is doing Karate Mac from fucking It's Always Sunny over here.
Yeah, that is very funny. My top two from this,
this one's hard to call. I want to see Akira go far.
Why don't you pick your top two first? Then?
Okay, so this one's hard for me. Because I want to see Akira continue with his ascension. Robbie has earned some acclaim here. And now fucking Bad Attitude Robbie is going to be fucking awesome. I also want to see Drilla do some work. So I'm going to say, for me, finals in this, top two coming out of the blog, I want to see Akira and Robbie.
Akira and Robbie. Yeah, my two were Robbie and Drilla.
That was really good. Like, yeah, they how was it last year? Drilla came in as the Eagles assassin.
He was the United Empire guy at that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be a good story too. There, I want to see Drilla do good. I mean, he's having fun being part of like the beefiest junior tag team that ever has been.
And they have those titles too. So, I mean, there's probably a pretty good chance that him and Clark, you know, are not going to win the tournament this year because they're in that tag space. So, but yeah, I do really enjoy him. He's probably one of my favorites in the blog.
How about give us some low lights. Give us the worst case scenario for this block.
Probably Kushida and Hiromu for me.
Again, yeah, just Kushida and Hiromu again.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Dragon Daya. Nothing at all. Ninja Mac I really enjoy, and I think he'll serve like a really good purpose, you know, like a speedball would. Like I think he'll do some spectacular stuff, but I don't think we'll see him win.
Oh, speedball would be so great this year. God, that sucks. I love speedball. Okay. So, best case scenario, who's champion of the A block?
Well, you haven't picked your worst case yet.
Oh, my worst case. I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right with just Kushida and Hiromu again. Like that doesn't ring any bells for me. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
And then like Kushida's not really there very often anymore.
Yeah.
It seems very ice cold. Ice cold. So exactly. I think you're right there.
Yeah, I feel like that. And as good as a match as it is, I think we've seen, like if we're going to now talk about best case and worst case finals, I think we've seen the Despy Hiromu dance enough times for now. I mean, it only just happened. So, like, I would hate to see that again as the final. I'm sure it'll be good, but, like, I wouldn't want that to be. And I would like to break new ground as far as this goes. So if I'm picking a best-case final between the two blocks, I think for me it'd be Robbie versus Despy. Robbie got so deep in last year's tournament, Despy cost him it at the end. Robbie's got, you know, new colours and a new attitude sort of thing, and I would not hate to see him do better, you know, this year.
I would also, I think Akira and Desperado had a fucking hell of a match last year. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're going to continue to make Akira the, like, the new face of the junior division for the Western audience, like, that might also be a great match versus El Desperado. Either way, we've got Despy coming out of A block, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
you're saying Akira versus Despy, are you?
I think Akira. No, I want to see Robbie as well, but as an extra option, I would think Akira versus Despy part two would also be fucking great. Because if you remember, like, that was the match where, like, Despy was just stretching Akira and he was screaming his head off. And
it was good.
And to see the new battle hardened Akira, mm-hmm. like post cage match Akira versus Rob or versus Despy right now would be fucking sick. Mm-hmm. So
that's it.
I think either one of those could be great. Brand new Evil Robbie. Evil Robbie vanquishing Desperado and having him, like, pushed further, you know, somewhere. Where's Despy going? Is he, you know, is he strong style's not a thing anymore? What's going on?
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah, that's
good. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I agree.
So who do we have picking as a champion for our best case scenario? Who is winning?
Worst case finals, and then we'll keep going, and then we'll do the final thing. So, worst case, I'm on the fence whether I want to make it the most likely worst case, or just actually what I think would be the worst match. because
make it what you think would be the worst match, because
exactly. Worst match for me would be. Taiji Ishimori versus TJP as the final.
You do not like Taiji Ishimori. That's okay.
No.
I think you're probably right. He
has a lot that I should like, but I just really very rarely gel with his matches. You know, he just never really does anything for me. You know, so that's kind of how I tend to feel about him.
I was thinking Kushida versus TJP. Would probably be the worst for me.
Both are good options there. So, how do you
maybe
feel?
Show versus TJP would probably be entertaining, just because, like, it'd be like entertaining in like a Western sense.
Hmm.
You know, it'd be a very Western style match. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
The funny thing about like Show is that, like, I like him in this kind of form, right? But I also know that he can really go. Like, and so there's a part of me that, like, wants to keep putting him in these situations where he has to, like, dig deeper beyond the bullshit and start to become who he really is. And so I have no problem with him kind of going deeper and being put in title situations and doing things where he has to go beyond House of Torture. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want to keep pushing him there. What do you think? Because we're obviously, like, both not super vibing TJP at the moment. Do you think we're not vibing TJP, or do you think we're rebelling against the idea of him, like, being the United Empire leader and, like, taking charge of it and, you know, being that United Empire ace? Because we see that role for other people. Like, I enjoyed him as, like, the mentor in Catch 2-2, and that's what they were, and they were, like, a good unit. I don't tend to really enjoy him heaps on his own. He's a very good wrestler. There's many things he does very well, but he just doesn't really hit for me. And then part of it is me sort of, I think, rebelling against the idea that he would, you know, call his shot and they think he's the new Will, basically, because I do not see him that way.
And I don't think it's fair to compare him to Will. I don't think it's fair to compare anyone to Will. But like, when you're putting yourself as at the head of the table at fucking United Empire, like, you're kind of doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Like, people always tend to say, oh, this guy's not going to fill the shoes of the next guy. Like,
yeah.
People didn't like David Finlay coming in after Switchblade. People didn't like
Kenny after AJ, etc.
Yeah, like, it happens. But like, the thing is, those guys were undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Kenny was undeniable after AJ left.
Yeah.
Is TJP undeniable after Will leaves? I don't think so.
No. I mean, maybe he'll become that way, but at the moment I don't really see it. I honestly don't think, like, people like Kenny and stuff have the sort of ability to sort of physically level up and become bigger and move into that heavyweight sort of champion main event kind of spot. And I don't think that TJ has the frame for it. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be that. And so I don't think that works, because I think it should be like the main event guy is the leader of the faction. But yeah, anyway,
I think a couple of years ago when you had Zack Sabre Jr. and like, it was like the Golden Tekker's time, like, and he would show up and he would be fantastic and put on great matches in these tournaments. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, he'd get pipped at the last minute by someone else and that sort of thing. I think that's a good spot for TJP. Mm-hmm. Like, making noise in these tournaments, being alive in the final four and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm into it. But like, I don't want him to win these tournaments. I don't think it's right for him to be the BOSJ, you know, champion, the winner.
No.
When you've got so many other people who could take it from you. Desperado, Kevin Knight, you want to build up, Fujita. Fucking, you could go back to Kushida or Hiromu. Mm-hmm. Akira, specifically Akira, his own tag team partner, you want that guy to be your ace of the junior division. Yeah. for the Western audience. Like, there's no reason TJP should be winning over Akira unless those two are the final two, you know, which could be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can, like, definitely see like a catch-22 explode, but I don't even really want that, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Like... Yeah, so I think we're in agreement at least that our worst case scenario would be a TJP win here. I don't think either of us are high on that.
I think they could pull it out if they had TJP and Akira together, but I don't really want to see that. Mm-hmm. I would rather see Akira versus like Despy.
Yeah.
To show how much he's leveled up this year, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So best case scenario. So we've got worst case scenario, we think TJP. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, who you got?
Look, a lot of people are calling for Despy to finally win it, but I honestly think I'd rather see Robbie win it. Like, I think that'd be cool. I think he's been telling this really cool story throughout the tournaments of like, I'm not going to stop until like I can do this. And with his kind of new attitude and stuff, I think I'd just be like so fucking pumped on him getting that win. I think it'd be really cool. And I feel like he's the kind of person that you could have, say, overthrow a show. You know, he's got TMDK to sort of counter the House of Torture kind of thing. And then you could have him run it through to Wrestle Kingdom and then do like a Robbie Despy Wrestle Kingdom or something like that. Would be so fucking hot. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah. For me, Robbie would be my best case.
Yeah, I think a little bit more seasoning on Francesco Akira. He's going to have at least one coming shortly. Mm-hmm. I think Robbie's put in the work. It's his time to win. Despy, I don't think he's focused on Best of the Super Juniors. I think Despy's got other shit in mind.
And he's like a big enough star now that he doesn't even need it. You know what I mean? He's showing up at other places. He's put on his own fucking invitational show. I was just watching DDT the other day and he rocked up there. And like, he's just a huge star everywhere. Everybody knows who he is. So I don't think he really needs it to like launch any further. Like, as nice as it is to have the feather in the cap, he really doesn't need it. Like
he really doesn't. And this new Limb Reaper hack the bone fucking mentality from Robbie is.
Yeah. I think we're going to see like a much more aggressive Robbie in this tournament, and that might be enough to get it done. And I would love to see, I would even love to see like how last year we ended up with two finalists that nobody expected. I would be totally okay if Despy isn't even in the mix. Like if you ended up having like a final between, geez, fucking any of them, but say Robbie versus Titan or Robbie versus Knight or, you know, or something like that would still be really cool.
Definitely. Definitely. I think so. So we think that normally I would say off the top of my head that the winner isn't going to come out of the same block as the champion, but we're going against form on that. Do you see anybody else in B block beating Sho and getting a challenge out of there?
Yeah, totally. I mean, any of them technically could. I could absolutely see somebody like a Driller beating Sho because he's fucking got Clark there or whatever and just fucking floors fucking whichever House of Torture goon is there, and Driller gets it done, and then it, you know, probably doesn't win the title but sets up a defense down the line. You could see an Akira getting a win. I reckon Doki would be one to watch because I feel like he's owed a rematch. I feel like he got so close and the crowd were like so into the idea of Doki beating Sho that he could definitely, like, his prize for this tournament would just be getting his rematch in, which would be really cool as well.
And then maybe we get an outsider beating him, like a Ninja Mac.
A Ninja Mac would be great. Sho. Could do like a defense. Yeah.
On a Noah show, that'd be great.
That'd be sick. I mean, every chance in the world you could see him take losses to like both the outsiders kind of thing and just set up title defenses in different companies or things like that. But yeah, I mean, the great thing about him as champion is he's completely beatable, like absolutely 100% beatable. And so you can kind of, you can have him lose like fucking almost every match and it doesn't weaken him as champion because he's already a weak champion. You know, like he doesn't win through like being the more dominant guy. He wins through bullshit. So if he gets outsmarted or he, you know, he just gets disqualified or he just runs out of the ring and gets counted out and shit like that, people technically get victories off him, but it doesn't, you can't make him look worse than he does. That's the whole point of him, you know? So he is a valuable champion and a valuable piece to have in place because you can just set up heaps of defenses and stuff. And then those defenses turn into like, you know, the House of Torture show. But hey, it's all completely doable, you know?
Definitely. Well, that is our best case, worst case scenario.
It is.
For best of the Super Juniors 2024.
Exactly. So best case Robbie, worst case TJP. I just realized that there's every fucking chance in the world that could just turn out to be the final. You know what I mean? They've got history. TJP beat him at Tamashii in Australia, you know what I mean, and kind of offered United Empire and he walked away and then not long after was announcing for Team DK. Maybe that all comes full circle and Robbie gets his win back, you know? So, yeah, there's lots to be very happy about.
That shows how stacked this fucking tournament actually is, man.
Yeah,
like, the fact that our worst case scenario is still a fucking fantastic wrestler.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. Like this is not a knock on TJP's ability at all. He's a great promo. He's a great wrestler. It's just not the creative direction I want right now. You know what I mean? But he's still a fucking great choice to win it. You know, you could do a lot with him story-wise if he did win it. Because then he's like, oh, now I fucking am in charge of United Empire. And then maybe other people in United Empire aren't happy about that. Or maybe they'll rally behind him. Or maybe Akira's pit. Like, there's heaps you can do. So it really is a super full, super fun tournament. So I'm really looking forward to it playing out, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think maybe that's it for the night, eh? What do you think?
That is it. Let's run it down. Tell the people where to find us.
Well, you can find us on patreon.com/countoutpod. That's where you can find our secret show. Mm-hmm. Secret show. Where we talked about Rafe's current injury and his convalescence from that. We also talked about me yelling at a church lady. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
Absolutely.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Ichiban Sweet. And you can find Rafe on Instagram and Twitter at Faces Feels Cast. You can find me on Instagram at eldestructo83. And if you like our brothers and sister shows at the Count Out Podcast, you can listen to our brothers and sisters, Hot Friends, the Faces and Feels Cast.
Yeah, which includes both of our other shows now. So now it does include Faces and Feels. It does include Throwing Dice. We're right in there with the Count Out crew now. We're in bed deep.
So throwing dice is my hobby centric podcast where I talk about tabletop wargaming, tabletop role playing, and all the hobby that's fit to hobby within those. Faces Feels Cast, where you can hear Rafe do interviews with independent wrestlers, get to know them on a deeper level than you'd probably ever get to know them before, and you can hear things like Ring Post Radio, which is your weekly catch up on all the news around the world of wrestling. You can catch up on Your Dose of Death and various other, like Stardom Road, which is great
exactly.
Because the fucking Joshi scene is hopping right now. Mm-hmm. Things are going crazy. So check out the Count Out Podcasting Network for all the great shows. Check us out on social media. Sure. Give us a 5-star, it's 5 snowflakes, 5 snakes, whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
Review.
Hit
on
that
your
start button on
podcast
Spotify.
Catcher of choice.
Absolutely. All and those things.
Share, you know, like, subscribe, tell all your friends. BOSJ starts tomorrow.
Absolutely. Get ready for it. It's going to be heaps of fun. Until then, rate, subscribe, listen or die. Spirit of Fight, Style of Strong, Sweet Cast, Ichiban. The Ichiban Sweet Cast! Ichiban Sweet Cast. Ichiban Sweet Cast. We will have a new theme one day.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Count Out provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Count Out Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Count Out Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout.